And this week we have one of our very own, C.S. LaRue, who told me I mustn't give him this big introduction. So I'll let him do the introduction because I know I'll embarrass him if I say too much. But he's a good friend of mine. We've known each other for many years, and we've been many places together, and we've encountered God in many amazing ways. And it's really with an open heart and with great joy that I'm able to receive him here today. And you know, where last week you had Vinay Samuel, who came to, you know, they take the word of God and they expound it for you and they break open scriptures. What evangelists do, like CS, is they pound you with the word of God. So he said he wants a big Bible. He lost his Bible, and he was just now with Angus Buchan in Ireland, and he lost his Bible to some blessing over there. Someone borrowed his Bible, never gave it back, but he was looking for a big Bible this morning because he says, I need a Bible that I can pound. That's what evangelists do. So let's just give a warm welcome to CS.
Thanks, Franz. It's great to be here. I've got a small Bible, and my sermon is written out on a piece of paper like this because my laptop's cable is there somewhere in Ireland as well. No, that was in South Africa. I feel like I lost half of this stuff all over the place. But it's more blessed to give than to receive. So we sowed some of the things. But it's great to be here, to see some old faces, some new faces. And it's great to see that God is moving and God is doing stuff. And this morning I really want to talk to our hearts, not to our heads, okay? So I want you to, in a sense, switch off your brain a little bit, because sometimes, we need the apologetics, we need all of that stuff, we need the teachers, we need that, but sometimes we just need to see Jesus, and that's what I'm going to talk about a little bit this morning. So let's just first pray. Lord, we thank you for this amazing privilege that we can have to worship you, and Lord, that we have the freedom to proclaim your name and to share just in your divine nature. Lord, it's a mystery, just the fact that you come to live inside of us, the fact that we can know you and have a relationship with an almighty God. And Lord, this morning as we look to Jesus and we look to the cross, Lord, we're sort of just amazed, Lord, of what you've come to do, because we don't deserve it. We don't, Lord, we just cannot even comprehend, Lord, what you had to go through on the cross, but we thank you, Holy Spirit, this morning, just for a fragrance of Christ in this place. And we thank you for the freedom, Lord, because you said, Lord, those who the Son has set free is free indeed. And Lord, open up our eyes to see, open up our ears to hear, our mouths to taste of your goodness, and our feet, Lord, to go from this place, Lord, with a readiness to share that which you have done in our hearts. And we just thank you for that freedom that we can have, Lord. We just bless you for the blood of Jesus that testifies of life and life in abundance. And we thank you for that freedom in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Okay, shake somebody next to you and say, you are looking fresh this morning. And we're going somewhere. And we're going to pick up some speed a little bit later. I want to read a very simple scripture in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Let's start at verse 12. And this is after a certain man was healed. It says in verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were untrained and uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. This was the reaction of the leaders in the surrounding areas. And then this part that I want to focus on this morning. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. You see, sometimes we can do a lot of things for God. Sometimes we can be involved in a lot of things. And sometimes we can do a lot of church activities even. And yet we can be surrounded with so many things around Christ and not with Jesus himself. And that's what I want to talk about this morning a little bit. About a year ago, I went through a bit of a tough challenge of lots of stuff and lots of things, and you sort of, you think you're okay, and then suddenly the wheels come off a little bit. Have you been in that situation before? You know, suddenly stuff starts to happen all over you, and people, you know, start to say some stuff about you and all that stuff, and then you sort of, it's not just like one puncture, one flat wheel. It's like you're driving on the rims suddenly, okay? And you were at 90 miles an hour, and now suddenly you're down to 10. And then the Lord started to challenge me about church and started to challenge me about my life. And especially my relationship with Christ. And just that place of, where am I with Him? Am I a Martha or am I a Mary? Am I sitting at His feet or am I doing lots of things? And then I realized, well, I'm actually doing a lot of things for God, but it's not from a place of actually knowing God. And that was a big challenge for me because I started to realize even in the ministry, you can get so involved in things and yet not connect with Him. And then the Lord said something to me very simply. He said to me, I must come and I must start looking and stay, just sit at His feet and look into His eyes. And the challenge is when you read the book of Revelations, you'll start to realize that in Revelation, Scripture says there's fire in His eyes. There's a burning desire for certain things in God's heart. And it's only when you stop, actually, I don't know if you've ever been in a conversation with somebody, and you're talking to them, but they're always checking as to who's passing by behind them, you know? And who's, you know, and then they greet people and say, hello, hello. And while they're busy trying to connect with you, you realize this guy is not actually connecting with you. He's so distracted about the people and about his image or whatever that he's always like just checking around you, but he's not looking you in the eyes and actually connecting with you as a person. We come across many people like that, and sometimes we do that. Would you agree? And that was exactly what God said I was doing with him. So he started to challenge me. He said, well, will you look me in the eyes and will you allow me that fire in my eyes to start to burn into your life and you to be transformed? And so I sort of had to let go. It's just sort of sharing my testimony a little bit as to what's happened in the past couple of months. And then I started to realize that Jesus is really not, he cannot be boxed in any way, and especially in our relationship with him. And we see this here in the scripture that we read. It says that what has happened is these guys were very bold, and the people around them, the learned guys, started to realize, oh, these guys are untrained, they're uneducated, they don't really know what's going on around them. But one thing we have to say, that these guys have been with Jesus. One thing, you know, the miracles, all this stuff around that, they've been with Jesus. And then I started to realize in my own life that the biggest challenge for us today is really about just looking God into the eyes and beginning to recognize that His presence is our exceedingly great reward. The presence of God, the manifest presence of God, the greatest thing that I believe, the greatest thing that you can have on this earth is not the things or the family or the people around you, but is the fact that God speaks to you and I. And I've had some encounters, I'll share a little bit about that tomorrow, of just the presence of God surprised me so many times in the past couple of months, just expecting God to, who He says He is, He will be that. What He said He will do that. That's really faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says it, you know, without faith it is impossible to please Him. But he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. First, you must believe that God is. He is God. So I was flying back on an airplane from this course that we did in Durban. And I started to say to God, God, I'm hungry for Your presence. I'm hungry for You. Not for things, not even for miracles, but for Your presence. And so there was a Hindu lady sitting next to me. And I was so challenged because I was very tired. We were doing like lots of stuff and running around in the streets and all that, all those things. And this lady was talking to me about India and food. You know, she loved making Indian cuisine food, curry. Now, whenever you talk to me about curry, I just get flashbacks of India because every time I'm there, I've been there about 10 times. I just get like, it's almost like, don't go there. You know, don't talk to me about that. You know, it's like those times that you just black out, you sort of just remove it from your mind. And so this lady is talking to me about the nice Indian curries, and I feel like a hypocrite because I'm pretending that I'm actually, you know, but I'm just trying to get out of the curry mode, you know. So I'm just thinking of my white throne judgment that happens so often, you know, being in the loo so many times in India, especially when you've come back, you know. That's a joke, eh? It's the toilet. Okay, you got that? Okay, so this lady's talking to me, and I'm very tired, and I said, okay, lady, I'm going to, you know, I'm a Christian, and you're a Hindu, that's great, but I'm going to go sleep now, because I'm very tired, and we're flying back to Cape Town. So I just sort of said, okay, Lord, you must deal with your presence. You know, I know something, only you can change somebody. Yeah? But sometimes we pray those prayers, but we don't actually believe it. I must be honest with you this morning. I didn't believe it. You know, I didn't. I just said, "Okay, God, you can change this lady, but I'm not going to go and do anything. I'm just going to sleep." So yeah, I fell asleep and I slept for about 40 minutes. And then as I woke up, the Lord spoke to me very clearly. He said to me, "This lady, when we threw the clouds coming down to Cape Town, you must pray for her. You must urgently. You must just ask her, lady, can I pray for you? I feel you must." There's specific words that God laid on my heart. And so I was just praying for her, and I was thinking, okay. And so when we went through the clouds, I put my hand on her shoulder, and I said, lady, I know you're Hindu and I'm a Christian, but I just felt an urgency that I must pray for you, and I must pray for you right now, because God wants to speak to you. And the next moment, she started to weep. She just started to cry uncontrollably. And then she told me the story about 20 minutes later. She told me that she was going through... We were coming through the cloud, just before we came through the clouds, a thought popped into her head that Jesus is coming soon to fetch his people on the clouds. Because she was reminded of that thought of when she went to Sunday school once with one of her friends years ago when she was very small. That was the only thing she knew about Christianity, was this one fact that she was at a Sunday school class where this lady spoke about Jesus coming to fetch his people on the clouds. So she said this thought was in her head, and she couldn't get the thought out of her head. She tried to shake the thought out of her head while we're now flying down. And so she looked out of the window, because she stared out of the window. She thought, okay, I'm going to get rid of it by just staring out of the window. She was sitting next to the window. And then she said a face appeared to her in the clouds that looked like the face of Jesus. So now she's thinking, oh, no, this can't be. What on earth is happening here? So she said, no, I'm just imagining it. I'm imagining. Now she's trying to do like just a good Hindu person would do, is do mantras, say the same stuff over and over, you know, just try to get rid of that thought. And so as we went through the clouds, she thought, she said, okay, Jesus, if you are real, I want you to speak to me, but speak to me right now. And the next moment I put my hands on her shoulder. And I said, lady, I just felt the urgency that God wants to speak to you, and he wants to speak to you right now. And I didn't pray a sinner's prayer with her because I don't think it was necessary. You know, because normally in my little box, I would always say, you know, pray the sinner's prayer, come to the front, do the altar call, you know, and make sure that you confess, because scripture says you must confess that Jesus is Lord, you know. And but we were at the conveyor belt, and she was standing on the other side. I was standing on this side waiting for our luggage to come. And this is what she screamed. She held from the other side out loud. She said, and you better make sure that your life is right when Jesus comes back. Because I'm going to be raptured from Durban side, and you're going to be raptured from Cape Town side. And you better wave to me when we go up in the air. Otherwise, you're going to be in trouble. I'm going to get you up there, and you're going to be in trouble. You know. So she gives me a 25-minute lecture on the rapture and the coming of Jesus, the second coming of Jesus, that it's very soon. You know? And so all stuff out of the box. My whole theology was a bit shaken. Yeah, because here was a lady that encountered God. Hello. It was a lady that encountered Jesus, raw Jesus, real Jesus. But you see, what we love to do is we love to form little boxes. Because you know what? We're comfortable in our boxes. And what we especially, as a church in the West, and I've been in Sudan and lots of places now, but in the church in the West, do you know what is the big issue for me? It's an issue of who is in control. Who's in control of your emotions, and who's in control of your life? Who's in control of your day-to-day lifestyle? Is it you? Is it God? Is it the Holy Spirit? And I'm asking these questions because I had to sort of come to a place where I almost came into a dead end and sort of had to say, okay, God, I'm realizing today that I'm actually so much in control that I'm just saying, okay, Lord, come and do your little thing in my life. And I'm not allowing Jesus and the Holy Spirit the space that he wants in my life. And I'm having control because I'm actually a bit of a control freak. I want to be in control. And then I want to have my law, my 7 rules of how to be a better Christian, and my 3 books on do this and do that and go and be good with God. And then Jesus just comes and he says, no, there's so much more in your life and through your life. God wants to show himself as a powerful God in your life and through your life. So the issue about control and trust is very important. Do we really trust God? Now, when I say these things, most of the times we go on to, oh, my chuna, there's a good word in English, they call it chuna machantas. Have you heard that? Okay. When you say chuna machantas, you say, oops, I don't know what's going on. Okay, turn to somebody next to you and say, chuna machantas. Okay, I'm teaching you a new word today, okay? It's very simply, it's just at that place, I can't tell you how many times I've said that word in the last year, chuna machantas, I don't know what I'm doing. Because suddenly, you know, what we do, and I'm going to challenge you a little bit on what happened yesterday in my life, you know, because it's easy to talk about stories that happened 3 years ago and 5 years ago, when we experienced God in that day, you know, when we came to Jesus, and we were so radical when we came to Jesus, but now we've grown up and we've got a family and we've got kids to take care of, so we're doing the responsible thing. Hello? We must be responsible for our children and our family, yes. But are you allowing the Holy Spirit the freedom that he wants? So God is beginning to tell me stuff that really, I must tell you, it just shakes my boat completely. It freaks me out. Because when we went here to Ireland, the Lord said, okay, just flying here this morning, I booked a flight when I was in Cape Town. The Lord said, I mustn't talk to anybody about how I'm going to get to the airport this morning. And I'm thinking, oh, my chuna, yeah. Lord, this is not the responsible thing to do. Because we must organize our lives. Everything must be organized, huh? Would you agree with me? That's just, we want to organize our lives. And but the Holy Spirit clearly said to me, and I must emphasize this, that when God speaks to you, you do what he tells you to do. Okay, so there's nothing wrong with organizing our lives. We must organize our lives, and but we mustn't organize Jesus out of our lives because we're so in control. So the Lord said to me clearly, he said to me, you must not plan how you're going to get to the airport. Now I'm thinking, I'm not going to tell Yaku and Franz because they're going to freak out, you know. And so now I'm walking around yesterday the whole day, the previous day when we arrived here, I'm just thinking, now the stress, okay, stress. Okay, Lord, I'm not supposed to tell anybody, but this is not in my box. You know, because we must be organized. But now the Holy Spirit said something else. And so yesterday I was going around, we were doing stuff, and I'm busy praying. Because now we go into alarm Christian mode. Lord, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that you actually said this. You know, doubt, unbelief, all that stuff begins to kick in. Because, you know, we want to just jump into the situation and have control. Huh? We want to be in control because God does obviously doesn't know what he's talking about. How can he tell me to do something like that? And so we're going on, the day is going on, and here at about 12 o'clock, this one guy comes to me. He says, no, I'm coming to stay over at the house where you're staying over, and I'm flying out tomorrow morning at 7:15 on Aer Lingus. And he just mentioned it by chance, 12 o'clock. And then I realized, same flight that I'm on. He's got everything worked out, and God just told me, give it to me, I know. Now, those things are beginning to happen. I'm not trying to promote a free flow into all this, you know, just like, because you get some people that are very flaky when it comes to the, you know, they say they've heard the voice of God, but they're just bad planners, you know, that can plan nothing, you know. But even on my holiday in the beginning of July, the Lord said to me, I must plan for the 1 week, and the other week I must leave it up to him. I must trust him. Because it's just the season that I'm going through to trust God. Because I say I trust him, but you know what? I actually don't. Because it's a comfortable place sometimes to live in. So this 1 week is open. So now I'm beginning to stress. I book the flights to Durban. And I'm thinking, okay, and I know a couple of people there, so I organized for the second week of our holiday, for the whole family holiday, to, you know, organize the place, everything that as I can organize. And the Lord says, leave the first week up to me, from the 4th of July till the 11th of July, around there. And I'm thinking, now I'm beginning to stress again. No, Lord, the closer it gets to this stuff, you know, you must organize this stuff because places get booked up, you know, they get filled up and all that stuff. And and so the Lord just says to me, leave it. I'm going to show you because I want to raise up a testimony for your family and your kids that I'm your provider. So I'm thinking, oh, here we go. Now I tell the family, I get all of them around the table. I say, no, God told me this, that, the second week, I must plan for that, but the first week we're going to leave open. We're going to pray together as a family. We're going to allow Jesus to be real in His Word. But now, you know, it's a test. It's a challenge. Not for God, but for us, you know, because that's what God said. You know, 2 weeks later, a guy phoned me. He said, he doesn't know why. I don't know that. I know him, but he's not even in church where, in our church, you know. And he phones me, he says, do you know what? I just had this thought pop into my mind yesterday that I've got a week of holiday in Durban from the 4th of July to the 11th of July in a timeshare in Umhlanga. Now you can ask Johnny and these people, it's quite a nice place, okay? And a thought popped into my head that I must give it to you and your family that specific week. I don't know why, but are you around in that time? I'm saying, yes, bring it on, Jesus. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. You know, I don't even know the guy, you know. And it was such a challenge for me because, yeah, right in that week, in, you know, you could have been any other place, any other stuff. This guy, I don't even know very well. He doesn't know my circumstances or anything. But God showed me that even to the day, He said, trust me. Now, the question I have for you this morning is, do we trust God? What are we holding on because we want to be in control? Maybe it's your emotions. Maybe it's your fears. But are you allowing Jesus to be real in your life? Are you allowing raw Jesus, the real Jesus, to come? Not a Jesus of our own making. So when we talk first about that place of intimacy and faith with God, then we must also talk about obedience. Because it's about His will for your life. It's about following clear instruction. And we're going to talk a lot about that tomorrow. But when it comes to a relationship with the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you that God wants to give you very clear instruction. There's a short way and there's a long way that we can travel on. And the short way, there's always shortcuts to get to where God wants us. And it's all about doing His will. And that's what I love about God. And about the life of Jesus. Would you agree with me? Jesus many times said, I only do what I see the Father do. A life of absolute 100% trust, but that trust would always manifest in implicit obedience. Because if we're going to trust God, it means we're going to let go and be obedient when He tells us. Now, I'm sharing these stories out of my own life because I think, you know, it must be real. Otherwise, we just have intellectual stuff here today. But trusting God is not easy because every time you need to trust God and be obedient, it's going to feel like you need to die 1,000 deaths. But did God not say in John 12, 24 that a seed must die before it can produce much fruit? And so something must die, something of that control in our lives when we yield to Christ, when we yield to that place of obedience. So trusting and that rawness of what Jesus had to only do. You know, I love what John chapter 4, verse 24 says. And onwards, when the disciples comes back with Jesus being with this woman at the well, He says, my food is to do the will of my Father and to finish His work. We are seeing many people in the body of Christ that are straying and getting distracted. Jesus wants to talk to them. Look them in the eyes, say very personal stuff, but they're always focusing on what's happening next. Distracted with things around Christ, but not looking Him in the eyes. And so, yeah, Jesus had to send His disciples away in John chapter 4, and then they come back, and then He says this beautiful words: my food is to do the will of my Father. Is that your food? What is your food? What are you hungry for? And He says, it's not just to do it, but to finish His work. Say, to finish His work. You see, God has called us to finish something. There's a specific road, and that's going to be different for you Alistair than for you, Peter and Debbie. It's going to be different for you guys than for me. We've all got different works to do. But we want to stand before Christ one day, and that is where eternity and the urgency of eternity kicks in. So are we living in this life for eternity, or are we living for the things that we have around us now? The things that can immediately gratify us and satisfy us. And I want to challenge us around this, because we need to live with an urgency. We need to live with a trust. We need to live with a thing to say, well, God, I want to do your will. I want to do your implicit will now, every day that I live. Because he's going to say one day, well done, my good and faithful servant. Hopefully not, well, what have you done? That's just the deck. Okay. Just everybody's quite tense here this morning. Okay. Okay. And I want to leave one more key. Are we over time? No, we still got lots of time. I was just busy with the introduction, okay? You know, walking this road of faith and walking this road of obedience to the Holy Spirit is very simple, but I'm challenging us this morning to get back to the basics. When we talk about faith, when we talk about things like obedience, it is so important, especially for Christians that have been around the block a little bit, you know. We get so used to getting used to not getting used to. You know, my wife and I, we had in our kitchen, when we lived in our previous house, there was a tile. When you just walk into the kitchen, the tile broke, and we didn't have any spare tiles. So, about after a week, we sort of realized, okay, mechuna, this is not chuna machantas, that word again. Okay, it was sort of, this is uncomfortable because people come to visit, and now everybody can see. So now I try to do my handyman thing, and I really stood last in line when it came to the gifts of handyman. You know, I can just hurt people and myself in the process. So, I'm not like France. But now I'm trying to fix this thing. You know, now I get the tile, cement and all that stuff, and I fix the tile, and it's right. And it works for about 24 hours, and it breaks again. Okay? It broke in 2 pieces, now it had 4 pieces, you know? So I realized, okay, now I do it again, it breaks, now it's 10 pieces, now I realize, oops, okay. No spare tiles, and now we start to drive around from the one place to another place. We go to the, and there isn't that specific color, because it's obviously it must be that specific type of tile. The only problem is, 6 months later, we've had like put a little carpet thingy there and everything, because we couldn't find a tile that matched the colors. But 6 months later, we got so used to the fact that there was a hole there that we didn't see it anymore. We just walked over it. And then after 6 months, I sort of came to this realization, whoa, this isn't normal. Now everybody's got like flashbacks where they see stuff in their houses. The wives look at their husbands and say, those stuff that you were supposed to fix in your, yeah, you know, come on, bring it on, ladies. Look at your men, okay? But so I got to the shocking place of 6 months later realizing this is not normal. But because it sort of just blended in with my environment, I got used to it. And you know how many Christians today are used to not experiencing God on a day-to-day basis and level in an intimacy with God and hearing God speak to them, distracted with things around them, that they just think, well, that's how it's supposed to be. But when I go and read my Bible, I begin to realize, my chuna, there's stuff, chuna machantas, that word again, there's stuff that happens here that is part and parcel of being and living in a supernatural way with God that is supposed to be the norm for every Christian. And it's there, it's right there. But you know who must fix it? You must fix it. You must become honest to where you're at, because that's where we start. There are 2 things that are important that I want to leave with us today before we're going to pray. When we want to walk on this road of experiencing God and walking in the fullness, the first one is very simply is honesty. It's about embracing truth as to where you're at. Because you cannot know where you're going if you don't know where you're at. And so we must stop living in the land of intentions. Oh Lord, one day I'm going to do something for you. One day, God, when I've got enough money, you know, there was a student that came to me one day and he said to me, oh, one day when I'm a businessman, then I'm going to start to tithe. When I earn millions, you know, I said to him, forget about it. You're going to do nothing. And he looked at me like that. He said, if you don't tithe now, when you're a student, how on earth are you going to, when you have millions, going to do that? Because then you're going to just have excuses to have billions. Excuses. Intentions. So many people live in intention land with God. Lots of dreams, lots of visions. God has spoken to them. They've written it down, but there's nothing happening. Why? Because they're not honest. And that's that reality that God gone. God wants you to know that there's a, he wants to be real, and he wants you to know that there's something authentic in your life that he wants to live through you. That's why you're different than the person sitting next to you. I don't know if you've realized that, but you are quite different than the person next to you. And that's why we need to worship God, because 2 Corinthians 3 says it, when we worship God, it's not like we need to look inside. All we need to do is we need to take a mirror and we need to look to God. Because that's how we discover who we really are, the truth. The truth is what we need to embrace. But are we hungry for the truth and to be real about where you are today? Because the moment when you're real and you're honest, then God can come and bring the truth into your life. I always use the example, but if I say to Alistair, this jacket that you have is pink, would you say I'm a liar? If I say, Alistair, stand up because some people at the back cannot see you. Okay. Smile. You smile so nice. Okay. Great stuff. Okay. Did you see that smile? Did you get it on camera? Thank you. Okay. But if I say this jacket is pink, I'm a liar. But if Jesus would walk in here and he would say this jacket is pink, it's a jersey, eh? This jersey is pink. Do you know what? It will turn pink the moment when he says it is pink. Because that is truth. Truth is in a person. Truth is in his word. It's Jesus. Thank you, Alistair. Smile again, smile again. Do you like pink? Okay. But you know, that is about truth. The moment when you're honest, God can share truth with you. And the truth will override facts in your life. And that's what I love about Jesus. When Jesus walks into a lady's life that comes to bring the oil and rubs it on his feet that she was busy with in prostitution. She earned money through that oil through prostitution. Then Jesus says, well, what this lady has done today will be recorded in history. Because you know, God is not just in the healing and deliverance ministry. God wants to restore. God wants to take your life and he wants to use it as a trophy to the world and see what I can do with a human being. See what I can do. In and through a human being. That's what I love about being around Angus. We cry so many, you know, every half an hour we've got like a weeping session. Because he always just says, I don't know what's happening right now, but all I know is Jesus is here. Yeah. Why did Jesus choose me? I don't know. I'm just one beggar showing another beggar where to find food. But you know, when we are real with God, when we're honest with him about where we're at, that's when the truth can start to manifest. But the second thing that it takes a great humility. I believe the only people that will make it in the end times are those that are humble. In James chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, it says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Hello? You see, there's only one thing that stands between us and God. It's not the sin and all of that stuff. It's really just, are we on the throne or is he? Pride. Who is being worshipped in your life? That's the question. It's all about worship. Is God being worshipped or are you being worshipped? Do you worship yourself? Do you worship the stuff around you? Or do we worship God? Because there's only one that can be worshipped. We've not as people been made to worship. The moment when we are worshipped, or we worship our circumstances, or we worship the things that we have, do you know what? We fall into pride because we exalt ourselves above where we're at. And that's why Scripture says God will resist. It's the only place where it says God will come to stand in the middle of the road as to where you're walking, and he will say, okay, right there, we stop the bus. I will resist you. Or when you're humble, he gives grace. He says he will release a grace, an ability, a supernatural ability to live this life. Once you're honest And once you're humble. And that's why, you know, the other day a guy said to me again, oh, I'm praying that God will make me humble. I said, no. Oh, no. Don't even say those words. Because Scripture says you must humble yourself. You must humble yourself. It says we must put on a cloak of humility every day when you wake up. And humility is something very simple. Humility isn't like being a doormat where everybody can walk over you. Humility is very simply understanding who God is and who you are, and not confusing the roles. Because false humility is where you tell God he must do certain things that you must do, that he said you to do. So some people come and they pray to God and say, God, please take away this pornography in my life. Please, you know. And then Scripture says, you must take it away. Some people say, Holy Spirit, fall on me. Come and shake me and move me. And then I'm going to do something for you. No. Scripture says, you must stir up the gifts inside of you. Holy Spirit is not going to do that. So sometimes we confuse the roles. Like Moses did. He stood in front of the Red Sea. Everybody complained. And then he stood there and he said, okay, God, you, where are you? What are you doing? And then God said to him, Moses, shh. You've got false humility now. Because I wanted to teach you through that rod that you have, which represents my presence, that you take the rod, you strike the water, and it will open up before you. There's some of you here this morning that must speak to some mountains. But nothing is going to happen. God is going to do nothing until you speak to that mountain. Until you open the door for Jesus to come in. Because the Red Sea will open up before you. Not when God says, when you say it. Why? Because he's given you authority to do that. He's given you authority. And so some people, you know, they develop their theology around the people that doesn't get healed. No. Develop your theology about the real healings. And forget about the other stuff. Because God can never change. He's always the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we must stop having our little pet doctrines about what God cannot do or what he is not and what he's, you know, and then, you know, write books about that or what we should not, you know, because some people say, should we sing with in tongues in church or should we do this, you know? Oh, they're always questioning. But, you know, that's just a sign of false humility. But when there's true humility, we begin to know what we stand for more than what we stand against. Because we know what Scripture says. We know the Word of God in our lives. And I want to challenge you this morning, because I'm challenging myself. It's just, how real is Jesus to you today? Not yeah, but yeah. In your heart. When last did he speak to you and what did he say to you? And have you been obedient to that which he said? Because there's a certain call on your life. And you know, you can run around in circles and you can go around the wilderness and you can do all that stuff. And God's love is not going to change when we're disobedient. But he's asking us very simply, are we living in our inheritance? Are we living in that place? But it takes a great humility. It takes a great place of just understanding that when God says he's going to heal, he's going to heal. What do we need to do? Scripture says, just go and pray for the sick. Is healing up to us? No, it's up to God. What if somebody doesn't get healed? Well, I don't know. I'm just following instructions. Hello. You know, about a year ago, you've probably maybe read it in the newsletter or somewhere. The Lord challenged me. I'm going to use this story and then we're going to end. Are you ready? Okay. There was a guy coming who came to me. And he sort of challenged me to, and he said, well, get out of the box a little bit, because I was challenging him, and then he challenged me. It was a student in Stellenbosch, and he basically said, well, when last did you step out of the boat by going to people that you don't, that you're not familiar with? They're not in your culture. They don't think the same. They believe different stuff. And I said, no, very long ago. So he said, okay. I said, now when last did you do that? No, so he goes to these trance party stuffs. Maybe you've read of some of that stuff. And I'm thinking, oh my chona. You know? And I said, okay, I'll go with you. He said, okay, come. But be prepared to be shocked, he said. And don't judge, he said. Okay, I said, okay. So here we go. I can't tell you The moment when he got out of the car the first time, there were like 4,000 people there that weekend. I looked and there was like people doing on the car's bonnet that you're not supposed to do on the car's bonnet, okay? But I won't go into anything like that. I'll tell you what, and I was completely shocked. I just wanted to close my eyes and tell all the 20 people that were with us, look up to the mountains. Where shall your help come from? Your help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, you know? Yeah. And just before we left, you know, it's so typical, you know, of us as Christians. Somebody phoned me, said, do you know what? Have you got a word that you must go to these people? Has it been confirmed to you that you must go because you don't know what happens at these trans party stuff? It's really demonic. It's really hectic. And if you haven't got a word, it's, you're really going to lose it. And this lady was very... she's from another church, and she was like really tense about, did I have a word? Now I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, I'm on the telephone, and I'm thinking, oh, Mechuna, I haven't got a word. It was just Johan and I, and Johan challenged me, and I said, yes, I'll go, and yes, let's go, you know. And then it just dawned on me. And I said to the lady, yes, I've got a word. I've actually got one word and three confirmations. We find it in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Go into all the world. And you know what Jesus said to me personally? He said it, and he said it four times so that I shouldn't get mistaken about whether I should go or whether I shouldn't go. He said it like in a couple of Gospels, and he said it all over, and he confirmed it a couple of times that we must actually just go and make disciples and heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out demons. He didn't say go and preach the gospel, and some or other time in your life you may encounter somebody that has demons and send him to the psychiatric ward. If you encounter a sick person once in your lifetime, send him to France. The pastor will pray for him. If you, now he says, go and preach the gospel, you go and heal the sick, you go and cast out demons, you. That's what Jesus said. So that's what I said to her. I said, yes, I received the word 2,000 years ago. So she was silent. But it challenged me again, because there's certain stuff in Scripture that God has said we must do that we think must, it's sort of, it's weird. Who should pray for the sick? You. And you. Because that's what Jesus said. My Bible says it in red. This one doesn't say it in red. Oh, no, it does. Whoa. Can you see there? It's in red. That's quite important words. Have your Bible also got red words in there? It's cool. It's red. It's red. It's like Jesus said it. And that word is alive. But you know, we've moved away, especially in the church in the West, we've moved away so far from what is real and what is supposed to be ordinary. Is our inheritance, is the supernatural in our lives. We experience God's voice. And I tell you, God speaks to you every day. But sometimes we are just so distracted with the stuff around us. God mainly would speak to you in your own voice. Did you know that? But because there are so many other voices in your own voice that screams, and the busyness and the planning of the stuff, that we're not open for that. But you know, Scripture says when Jesus saw the crowds, what happened? Then he was moved by compassion. Scripture doesn't say he was first moved by compassion. He said when he saw the crowds, he was moved by compassion. And that is why we need to go and see. I would have never gone to the trans parties if I didn't go and see for myself. And now we put up a little booth there, spiritual readings, cleansing, physical healings. We don't even mention the name of Jesus until they ask you, what medium are you using? And then you say, we saw somebody being raised from the dead last year, at the end of last year. Because you know the need out there is so great. And yet, all the devil wants is he wants you to focus on yourself and on your own stuff and how you must still work and condemnation and guilt and apathy and indifference. And says, no, you must first be perfect before God will ever use you. That is the biggest lie. Go and read the Bible. God uses messed up people to bring a message. People that are not together, people that haven't focused, they're really out of it most of the times. Have you read The Disciples lately? running away, forsaking the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Peter, oh, but I love that about Jesus. When Jesus comes and he appears to his disciples, he says, disciples, go there. I'm going to visit you there. You and Peter, scripture says. Go tell the disciples and Peter that I'm coming at his resurrection. Just before you at the tomb. He says, go and tell the disciples and Peter that I'm coming. Because you know that's God's heart. His heart is for you and me. Because he wants to reveal himself. It's all about relationship. So I want to ask us very simply. How real is Jesus to you today? Not 3 months of what he did 3 months ago, or 3 years, or 30 years in your life. How real is that Jesus to you today? And are you obedient to what he's telling you? Don't do more and don't do less. Just do the will of God for your life. And the most amazing thing is, then you'll have peace. Then all these things will be added to you, scripture says. When you seek first the kingdom of God. Will you stand with me today? Because I want to pray with us. You see, sometimes we so expect God not to do stuff. The other day I was stopping at the robot. And the Lord said to me, I was praying for the guy sitting in the car, in the other car, next to me. And so I started to just pray for him. Just said, Lord, touch this man. And the next moment, this guy started to cry and weep. The robot turns green. There he goes. And I'm still sitting. I'm so gobsmacked. Because I didn't actually expect something to happen. But here I'm praying. This guy is sitting in the car. You know, he doesn't hear what I'm saying or anything. I'm just looking and I say, just God, touch this man. Touch him. And the next moment, the Holy Spirit begins to move. Why? Because I said to God, God, I'm out of the box. I'm letting go of control. So I want to, firstly, maybe there's somebody here today that don't know Jesus. What an opportunity to know the real Jesus. Not a religious one. Not a one of our minds or the one that we make up where he's just another God between all the other idols that we worship. But he's the real Jesus. The same one that walked on the face of the earth. And maybe there's just one person like that today. But especially, I want to ask people here today that are older Christians. You've lost your first love. You've lost just that ability of being implicit and following him. You've become responsible and balanced. Those are the words that we use. But what we've done is we've quenched the Holy Spirit many times. And in many churches, you come to the church and there's no room for the Holy Spirit to move. The Holy Spirit has gone out long ago. The Holy Spirit doesn't feel welcome in our conversations. And you know, all we need to do is we just need to be honest and say to God again, Lord, Holy Spirit, you're a person. And if I don't acknowledge you, if I don't open up the door and I realize you're here, I can actually go on and that broken tile will be there for 6 months. And everything will just become so natural. And I'll go down that road and then 3 or 4 years later. Now for me, I must be honest, for 4 years, I was down this road and then God gave me a wake-up call last year in March. God started to shake everything that can be shaken. And now I just love Jesus. I'm not afraid to weep. I'm not afraid to laugh. I'm not afraid to do. But I'm just, it's like this roller coaster ride of just understanding. I'm letting go of control. I'm just in the process. And that's what I want to give to you today. But it starts with you being very honest as to where you are at right now. Not intention land, but what is your relationship like with Christ today? So I'm going to ask you, while there's no music playing and no hype up or no emotion, because it's not about that, it's about truth today. If you know that your relationship with God is not in the right place today, we You've been disobedient. The Holy Spirit isn't part of the package, if I can use that word. Not disrespectfully. I try to do it respectfully. But He wants in. God wants to look you in the eyes. He wants you to just come to Him and be hungry for Him and thirsty in that place of overflowing. Then I'm going to ask you to do something very bold. I'm going to ask you to step out and come and join me right here in front, because we're going to pray a prayer together. And I know some people are going to say, well, ach, yeah, but, you know, I'm a leader of the church. I was a leader of the church. I was a pastor. And the Holy Spirit was like wallpaper. It wasn't real. And I just feel it's an invitation today to come back to that place of just being childlike. Walking in humility with our God and understanding that He wants to reveal Himself. It's like I just saw a picture of this wall that God wants to break, this damn wall, this reservoir that He wants to break for His rivers to flow, just rivers of life to flow. And all we need to do is we need to say, Lord, break these walls, because we've built them. We've made them. But God, send Your rain so that it will just break. Send it in my life. I want to be honest with You. So I'm going to ask you quickly, if that's you, maybe there's nobody. But I know there's some people, because God gave me a word for you. You want to say to God today again, just, God, here I am. And you can just line up, and we're going to just be honest with God. And we're going to say to the Lord, Lord, here I am. I don't care what people say, what people think. There's some people here that God has showed me. There's a spirit of heaviness over your life. There's a condemnation and a heaviness. And it's actually depression. And you're not admitting it. But as you're going to be honest with Him today, He's going to lift that. I want every eye just to close, because I want to pray first for those people specifically. There's some heavy clouds. There's a lady here. You are wishing. You don't want to be here. Everything inside of you is kicking against the system. And it's you actually hate some people around you. And the Lord wants to set you free today, so that you can know that it's His will, but you can have peace inside of His will. You can have an understanding inside of your will. Now, while every eye is closed, I don't want anybody to look at me right now. If that's you, that specific lady, I want you to just quickly lift up your hand so that I can pray for you specifically. Just be honest. Nobody's looking. Thank you for your honesty. You can lower your hand. There's a guy here, two people, that have got a fear of not being able to provide financially. And it's sort of you scheming and you're making all of your stuff. You're a big schemer. And Jesus is saying this morning to you, you must stop that. You must trust Him, because He's trustworthy. I want to know where you are, because I want to pray for you as well. Just lift up your hand quickly. Nobody's looking. Thank you. There's another person. Thank you. Because the Lord wants to set us free today. It's for freedom that Christ has come to set us free. There's somebody here with stomach problems. I don't know if it's stomach ulcers, but it's just a result of just intensities in your life, just stress and things that's been really weighing hard on you. And God wants to heal you physically. Where are you? There's like stomach problems that you have at the moment, and God wants to heal you. I want to pray for you specifically as well. Where are you? Anybody like that? Okay, thank you. I'm going to pray for you. Are you there? Is that you? I'm going to pray for you. No, okay. You see, God is not a respecter of people, but the last group that I just want to pray for, if you've got that heaviness over you, I want you, and this is just the indication to God, where you just lift your hand, because you're just saying to God, here am I, Lord. Like that donkey in Shrek, pick me, Lord, here am I. If there's a heaviness over your life and you just want to be honest with God today, will you just lift up your hand, because I want to pray for you as well. Thank you, Lord. You don't need to be in front. You can be at the back as well. So we're going to just pray a very simple prayer. Is that all right today? I'm going to first pray for you, and then we're going to pray a prayer together. Lord, I thank You for every person that's here. I thank You for a freedom, Lord. I'm going to lay my hands on them, Lord, and just release them in that place of Your freedom. Thank you, Lord, that you just think good stuff and amazing stuff towards every person here today, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the old stuff is gone, Lord. When you do stuff and when you say stuff, Lord, when you speak a word, Lord, you create, Lord, because you're the only one that can create, Lord. And Father, this morning, I pray for your truth to be released over every person here, Lord. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for a fresh touch, Lord, and a hunger for righteousness, Father. Hunger for you and a thirst, Lord, that will be so deep, Lord, that it will come from our spirits, Lord. It will cry out for the living God day and night, Father. Thank you, Lord, for some people that hasn't dreamt dreams in a long time, Lord, that they'll begin to see, Lord. Lord, that you'll open up spiritual eyes and spiritual understandings, Lord, and awaken your people again, Lord, just to their first love. Thank you, God, just for that place of being in love with Jesus, Lord, in a place, Lord, of just surrendering and understanding, Lord, that you bring a freedom in our lives, Father. And Father, thank you right now this morning that you are working in our lives. Lord, we don't need to psych ourselves up because it's your truth. It's you, Jesus, and we invite you, Jesus, to come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. I want us to pray together. Lord, the old ways I lay down of being familiar with just the natural. And I repent of apathy and indifference and trying to figure you out by controlling you and controlling my circumstances. And this morning, Lord, I thank you for your river of life. Lord, flood me with your heavy rains. Flood us as a church with your heavy rains. Lord, every wall that we have built, we ask that you come and break it down. I don't even know where to start, but I thank you for a freedom in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, help me today to focus on you and to look you in the eyes again, because I've been so distracted with the things around me, running around, doing. But this morning, I thank you. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender everything. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit of God. And tabernacle with me and with us. Thank you for a freedom. No more condemnation. No more guilt. But I thank you for the supernatural as a lifestyle in Jesus. Lord, I expect and trust that signs and wonders will start to follow me from today on. No more ordinary. Because whoever is born of God has overcome this world. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It's a simple prayer. But you know, when we're just honest with God, God comes to take us on our word, because he's more eager and more willing. I prayed that simple prayer a year ago, and the Lord has started to transform my life, and I'm just on the road somewhere. I haven't got a clue. But you know what? It's the most exciting thing. It's like my little child, Josh. He's 3 years old. When you like have children, you know, children enjoy life. Would you agree with me? They just play. They just have fun. They're not complicated. No, the other day, we're standing with a gun with his plastic gun in the kitchen. And Louise, my wife, came walking in. And then he said, "Hands up. Hands up. Give me ice cream. Give me ice cream," yeah. And there was a major attack in the house. You know, we thought it was like robbers or somebody coming in, but he was just standing there next to the cupboard. "Give me ice cream. Now, you know, give me ice cream," yeah. And I just love that picture. Because, you know, God is not worried. He doesn't look at all the issues in our lives. And I really want to say that to us this morning. You know, God celebrates you. God is in love with you. He doesn't just love you. He's in love with you. And I know for us as men, that feels a bit uncomfortable. But God cannot get you out of his mind like that thought in that lady's head. He's constantly a thought in your mind. And so I want to say this, and especially people that want to be perfect before God, stop it. God did something through my little child, Josh, taught me a lesson. I'm going to end with this. I know I'm a preacher, so Franz, we need to get to the next service, but I want to share this with you. It changed my life. That day changed my life through my child, you know, because we were teaching him to potty train. And it was the first time he came running into the study. And he said, "Daddy, Daddy, I did not poo-poo in my pants." And I'm saying, "Yes. First time in the toilet." So I walk down the corridor, around the corner, in front of the toilet, on the carpet. He's done his thing right there. He almost made it to the toilet. Yeah. And I went to stand there next to that foo-foo, lying on the ground, and now everything inside of you as a parent wants to like tell him what's wrong and how he should, you know, how he did it, you know. And then there was a teaching moment for me because the Holy Spirit said to me, that's exactly, God comes even right there and he comes to celebrate us. And the Holy Spirit said to me, celebrate, because he didn't poo-pooed in his pants. He was right, because we told him, don't poo-poo in your pants, and he didn't do that. We didn't exactly tell him, don't go to the toilet, because he couldn't make it to the toilet. But, you know, I celebrated that poo-poo because it was a step ahead of where he was previously. And, you know, God does exactly the same with us. Every step that you take, like this morning when you took a step out here, God celebrates it because he says you're one step ahead of where you were previously. And that's for God, that's victory. And I want to encourage you, just start opening up your heart by being honest. And humility, walking in humbleness, humility before him. And I want you to go and take a piece of paper and go and write down those things that God has told some of you years ago over your life. Go and take out those old dusty books, promises that you have written down when you just got saved. And say, okay, God, you have not changed. I've moved the goalpost, but you haven't. And one day God can do that. One day he can change your life around. Okay. If you're sick in your body, I want you to quickly come to the front. We're going to pray a prayer of healing over your life because Jesus is here to heal. So if there's any sickness in your body, we want to pray for you. The rest of you, you can quickly go and sit down because we want to thank you for coming and just your obedience. But if you're sick, we want to just take oil and and I want some people in the congregation, if you love these people, I want you to come and stand here quickly, just one or two with every person. We're going to just anoint them. We're going to pray together as a family. And I want you to take your hand, if it's not going to embarrass you, and just place it on the area where you're sick. If not, then just do this, okay? Then we'll pray for you. But Franz, can you just take oil and we're going to... And you know, we don't need to wind up God or try to psych God up. All we're going to just say, Lord, we release your healing. Jesus, because you're here. And tomorrow we're going to teach you how to do that. Very simple. But it's just the authority of the word. Amen. So Father, we just thank you right now that in the name of Jesus, we rebuke every sickness over this body. And we release your complete healing in Jesus' name. Command sickness and pain to go in Jesus' name. Thank you for the word of God. Lord, we thank you. We release the word of God that by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. We have been healed on the cross already, Lord, and we release that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for a complete release. Lord, we thank you for complete restoration, Lord, complete restoration, Lord. We break every barrenness, and we thank you for a release of the heavens, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you, Father. No more, Lord. asthma, Lord, all that stuff, Lord, that heavy breathing, all that stuff, Father, we just rebuke it in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, right now. We say, be healed in Jesus' name. We release your complete healing, Lord, over this body in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for complete restoration and healing in Jesus' name. And we release it over this body in Jesus' name. We command sickness and pain to go in Jesus' name, Lord. No more, Lord, no more in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that he's a son of promise, Lord. He's just like Isaac, Lord. And we thank you for your promises that are yes and amen to him in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for release of the heavens in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for that abilities of Christ in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you, release, Lord, your fullness into these hips, Lord, into this life, into this back in Jesus' name. We command the pain to be gone in Jesus' name. And every muscle, everything, we tell you to obey the word of God in Jesus' name. And we release that healing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, God. We just thank you for complete restoration in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We want to thank you. We're going to, maybe if you cannot make it tomorrow evening, come, because we're going to just worship God together, and then we're going to just minister to one another, okay? So if you cannot make it today, try to be there tomorrow morning. We're going to just have a great time of worshiping and just with no agenda. No agenda. We're just going to worship God together. We're going to say, Holy Spirit, it's your time. And I promise you, we're going to experience God, because I really believe those sluice gates are about to break in all of our lives, not just in somebody's life, in everyone's life. Just a release of God's rivers. Thank you very much.